Welcome to Multifamily Real Estate Investing, presented by Mara Poling. My name is Pat Poling. I'm the founder and CEO of Mara Poling. Happy to be with you, as always, to discuss another interesting topic in multifamily real estate. And today, it's an invitation and a sneak peek at an upcoming topic we have in one of our educational webinar series, Math for Multifamily Real Estate. Now, we've said before that multifamily is not rocket science. There's no really terribly difficult concept to understand. Tenants pay rent, we pay expenses, we pay mortgage payments, we have some cash left over, and if we can grow that over time, we grow the value of the asset. But what's the actual math behind all of that? I want you to join us next week. Actually, I think it's the week after next, depending on when you're listening to this, of course. Join us on June 23rd. We have a webinar session coming up, Math for Multifamily Real Estate. And we're going to go through the math behind a number of key elements in multifamily. Now, you might be thinking, well, I'm a passive investor. Maybe you've already joined Mara Poling and you've got some money in the Total Return Fund, or you're in one of our other individual syndications, or maybe you're invested with another sponsor and you're saying, well, I'm a passive investor. What math do I need to understand? Well, we want to help you at least understand some of the basic items that you should be getting in terms of reporting from your sponsor, from your asset manager, the kinds of things that we report on a weekly, monthly, annual, quarterly basis, all those good timings. And to do that, there's an understanding not so much of the math. The math's pretty basic, right? It's arithmetic, addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. Not terribly challenging from that standpoint. We're not dragging out calculus to do any of this. But it is helpful to understand the relationships of these items to each other. And so that's what the session is about. Today, I want to just give you a sneak peek at those items that we're going to be going through on the 23rd. And again, go to the Learning Center at marapoling.com to register. That's marapoling.com. And you can register for the session. If you are unable to attend, and if you know that right now, still register, please. That will ensure that I send you a follow-up email with a link to the recording and a copy of the presentation and a copy of the Q&A that we will not necessarily get to. So if you have a question about the math for multifamily, you can send it to me in advance. We'll do our best to get it into the content. If you attend the session and ask a question, we may not be able to get to it because we've got a lot of content we need to cover that day. If we don't get to the Q&A session, or at least to your particular question, we will answer those in a long form that we will attach to the email that we send out to everyone so that everyone will benefit from that particular Q&A. So I encourage you to join us. And if you are someone who has your own portfolio or you're building your own portfolio, then absolutely this will benefit you as well. So let's take a quick sneak peek at the kinds of things that we're going to look at that day so that you can see what math for multifamily real estate is going to be about. We're going to start with net operating income. And we start with net operating income because it's the thing. Capital T-H-E, underscore, bold, highlight, whatever it is we can do to really make it clear that this is the foundation, this is the hub, this is the engine that drives the machine. Optimizing net operating income does everything. That's what drives the value in a commercial multifamily asset. That's what drives cash flow. That's what provides the strength and stability for debt coverage and break-even occupancy and every other element that's in there. So understanding net operating income and the math around net operating income, which means we need to understand revenue and where does revenue come from? What's the math behind revenue? And we're going to go into that, everything from other income items, value add work, the average rent, comps to market, occupancy, physical occupancy, bad debt, concessions, how those items right there, bad debt, concessions, physical occupancy, how those items together consolidate into this thing we called vacancy, and how that ultimately drives the revenue side of the equation. And then OPEX, operating expenses. What are they? Line by line, what's the math behind them? And then in much the same way that we did in our underwriting session, which, by the way, if you're listening to this session when it first comes out, if you're listening on Tuesday or Wednesday, you still have time to actually register for the underwriting session, which is June 11th. If you are listening to this after June 11th, you can send me an email, and I'll be happy to give you a copy of that material that we went through. And if it's a little after June 11th, we'll eventually get that up on the Learning Center. It may or may not be up there yet. So you can always shoot me an email, pat@marapolling.com, for those things. So just like we did in the underwriting session, where we went through and talked about the different inputs and how much leverage they had, which ones were the big items that really moved things a lot, which were the ones that were maybe a little more modest, we're going to do the same when we look at net operating income. If we want to move net operating income, what's the biggest lever we have to tug on? And then that helps us, for example, take a look at the trade-off of rent growth and the pace of rent growth relative to its impact on total vacancy. And where's the sweet spot, right? Are we better off holding rents stable and really maximizing occupancy and minimizing vacancy? Or if we do that, are we leaving some money on the table and we should actually have some degree of vacancy such that we can optimize our rent growth? And how do you figure that out? We're going to go into some of the math that does all that. Debt service. When we talked in underwriting about wanting to underwrite like a lender, we want to think like a lender when we're looking at assets. And that means understanding the math behind how a lender and how we look at the operation of an asset. And that's going to involve three different items. So it's going to involve us looking at debt cover. It's going to involve us looking at debt yield, and it's going to involve us doing the math for break-even occupancy. And so we're going to look at all of those items. Now, I said net operating income is king. It's the number, and it is. It not only drives the value of the asset, because net operating income relative to a cap rate is how you're going to determine what the value is, or at least estimate what the value of an asset is. But more importantly, net operating income is what ultimately feeds cash flow. Because net operating income, if we're going to improve cash flow, generally speaking, we're not going to change debt service. Debt service changes very infrequently, unless you have a flexible floating note. And even then, if it does change, it's rare in my experience that it changes in a favorable way. So if you've got a fixed debt service, how do you move cash flow? You move it through NOI. So that's why NOI is, again, such a critical element. But we want to take a look at cash flow and what are the items that go into calculating cash flow and how can we think about cash flow and what are the kinds of, again, levers inside the cash flow equation that we can use to optimize cash flow to make sure that it's exactly where we really want it to be. One more piece of math that we're going to go into, and this is one that's, for us, a critical part of how we not only underwrite our assets, but how we manage them over time and how we make capital investment decisions along the way. And I think that's an important thing to keep in mind is when we perform an underwrite during an acquisition and then we acquire an asset, we've made a host of assumptions. And again, we're going through those in the underwriting session on the 11th. But those are all assumptions day one. And as we go forward, The world will change. I guarantee you the assets that we purchased a year ago, we did not in that underwrite say, oh, we need to forecast in an intentional shutdown of the U.S. economy as a response to a global pandemic. That was not in anybody's underwrite a year ago. And yet that's what's happened, right? And because that's what's happened, our strategy has evolved, right? And that's something that's going to happen. So as you're evolving your strategy, you may at some point in time decide, okay, do I want to put this capital in for this value add piece? Or is that capital actually better served somewhere else? Well, how do I do that? Well, that's by understanding the value add math. And so we're going to go through value add math as well, which is really pretty exciting. The basic math of how the asset performs generates modest returns. What gets really exciting is when you can throw in some value add work, you know, the kind of work where you can invest $10,000 and get a 20 or 30 or 40% cash on cash return, and you can get all of your money back in just a few short years and increase the value of the asset by $50,000 for a $10,000 investment. There's some really exciting stuff like that that you can do. And we're going to go through the math of how you look at that. And then where do you start drawing those lines in terms of, is that enough value add to make it worthwhile to make that investment? So a lot that we're going to cover, as you can see, the math is very tied to the underwriting session we're having on the 11th. The best way to be involved in these, in understanding all this, would be to register for the session on the 11th. And if you have time, please do so. That's the underwriting session. And then register for the session Math on Multifamily Real Estate on the 23rd. If for some reason you're listening to this and the 11th has already passed, don't worry about it. Register for the session on Math for Multifamily Real Estate and shoot me a note, and I will make sure you get a copy of the underwriting material as well. You'll be able to review that underwriting material, that session, before the session on math, so that you'll have them in the right sequence, because obviously in the math session, we'll be referring to some of what we talked about in underwriting. As always, if you have any questions at all, feel free to shoot me an email. That's pat@marapoling.com, marapoling.com. Please join us every week for an episode of Multifamily Real Estate Investing presented by Mara Poling.